Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. We're continuing our series on Burn the Ships, but I came across something this past week that I thought was kind of funny. I'm a person who kind of likes sarcasm. At least the kids would say I'm kind of sarcastic at home. You know, I give sarcastic responses all the time. I kind of feed off that. So when I read things that are sarcastic, I'm kind of drawn to them, to be honest. And I read something this past week. I didn't know this. But apparently in the airline industry, there's something known as a squawk sheet. Squawk sheet. I think we have a copy of one. Here's a squawk sheet. With all the travels that jetliners do, with everything that they do, they need to find a way. If pilots have a problem, they communicate this. They write it down in a squawk sheet, and then they give that to the service personnel once they get on the ground. And then the service personnel are required to review that and try to figure out what's going on before the aircraft takes off again, and they've got to write in their response on what they find, what the problem is. And I've came across Qantas Airlines, which is out of Australia. They've never had a fatality, as I understand it. Very, very good safety record. But they have some kind of friendly banter that goes on back and forth between the pilot and the service personnel. And the pilots are always kind of filling out complaints, and the service personnel are coming out with sarcastic responses. And I'll give you some examples here of some that I like. One, the pilot reported, P is for pilot, left inside main tire almost needs replacement. And S is for the service manager, and they responded, almost replaced left inside main tire. Here's another one. The pilot said, the flight's okay except Autoland was very rough. The service manager, Autoland is not installed on this aircraft. I like this one. A pilot reported that there are dead bugs on the windshield. Live bugs are on back order. Pilot, number 3 engines missing. The service manager, engine found on right wing after brief search. Here's the pilot. Aircraft handles funny. The service manager, aircraft warned to straighten up, fly right, and be serious. Here's the last one. Noise coming from under instrument panel. Sounds like a monkey pounding on something with a hammer. Took away hammer away from the monkey, which I really liked. I like those. And they have absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about today, because we're looking at burn the ships. Burn the ships. And if anything, we're talking about blessed are the peacemakers today. So I guess we could kind of tie that in somehow. But if you noticed, I'm going to skip a couple. There are a couple I'm going to skip. I'm going to skip blessed are those who are merciful. I'm going to skip blessed are those who are pure in heart. We're going to come back to those next week and look at those, because we've got to finish up next week if we're going to make our date. September 8th, we're going to kick off a new series called My Hope America, which is in correlation with Billy Graham and what Billy Graham's wanting to do at the end of the year and coming into the beginning of the year. And so we're going to do that in correlation with that. But we've been looking at this series called Burn the Ships. And last week, we talked about where Jesus, we kind of looked at this in detail, where Jesus taught this sermon at, where he preached this at. Historians believe, it's traditionally been believed, that it was at Mount Beatitude. Mount Beatitude. And we had some pictures of this. This is one looking down from Mount Beatitude. There's another one that's looking up, and I'm going to stay on this one here for a second. Because at the end of Matthew chapter 4, very interesting, it said that multitudes followed Christ as he was healing people of various diseases, as he was making people well. The Bible says at the end of Matthew chapter 4 that multitudes followed him. Multitudes followed him. Now contrast that with the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. Because multitudes, and we looked at all the places that they came from Decapolis, from the east of the Jordan River Valley, from Judea, Galilee, Jerusalem. They came from all these locations, and as they arrived at this location, they're pressing Jesus in. So what Jesus has to do now is he has to climb up this mountain. He has to go up. It's kind of a natural amphitheater. When he gets to a spot where he can address everybody, that's what he does. But the Bible says he moves up. He climbs up this mountain, and it's very interesting. In the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, it no longer says that multitudes are following him. Actually, it just says only the disciples followed him. So as the higher he went, fewer and fewer followed Jesus Christ up the mountain. I think we're beginning to get that picture. And the same is true today, because fewer and fewer people really desire to grow deeper in their relationship with God. And that's one of the things that we're looking at as we go through this series. We're looking at trying to grow deeper in our relationship with God. The verse that we have, the theme verse that we have for this, is Philippians 3:14 that says, I press on toward the goal for which God has called us upward, heavenward. And we talked about these Beatitudes are really a step. Each one is a step to grow deeper and to get higher in our relationship with God. And we looked at the ladder last week. We really can't skip one. We've got to follow those steps all the way up the ladder. And so today we come to, blessed are the pacemakers. Anybody have a pacemaker out there? You're blessed if you got one. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. They will be called children of God. So we're going to pray, and then we'll come back to this and look at peacemakers for a little while. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this time, God. We thank you for your word. Father, we just pray that you help us to see what a peacemaker is as we go throughout the rest of this morning. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. People generally fall into one of three categories. First of all, you could be a peace faker. A peace faker is somebody who desires peace. They want peace, but they want peace at all costs. It doesn't matter what it takes, we're going to have peace around here. You ever have that happen in your household? You come in and everything's just going chaotic. Everything's just, hey, I want some quiet around here, and I don't care what it takes, we're going to have quiet now. Well, that's not really peace. That may be the absence of conflict. That may be the absence of noise, but that's not really peace. A peace faker says, I don't care what it takes, we're going to have some peace around here. And it doesn't matter if we've got to stop this conflict. It doesn't matter if we don't get this fixed or not. We're just going to have peace. Well, that's a peace faker. A peace faker desires to build walls rather than bridges. That's what a peace faker does. A peace breaker is just the opposite from a peace faker, because a peace breaker says, you know what, I like it when there's conflict. They seem to really enjoy the conflict. As a matter of fact, they're only happy when people are unhappy. And so they really want to foster that conflict. That's a peace breaker. You can be a peace faker. You can be a peace breaker. Both of them build walls and not bridges when it comes to relationships. But then we have a peacemaker. And Jesus said, blessed are those, I'm going to say pacemaker again, I just know it, I feel it, it's got in my mind now, so if I do, anytime I say pacemaker, you just understand that's going to be peacemaker if I do that from here on out. Jesus said, blessed are those who are peacemakers. Now sometimes we can look at that and we can say, you know what, I think he's talking about nations. Blessed are those who foster peace and can broker peace between countries, between nations. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the study in Genesis, and we talked about how there's an ethical question. If you ever go to an ethics college class, one of the things that they'll ask in that class is this: is it ever okay to go to war? Is it ever right for countries to go to war? And we know war is horrendous. It's terrible. No, I mean, it's not right. It's terrible for people to find themselves in war. It's devastating. It's destructive on what it does to people. But is there ever a right time for a country to enter into war? Now, some people will say no, and the reason why they'll say no is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. They may even use this verse, blessed are the peacemakers, so we've got to seek peace at all costs. But Jesus wasn't talking about countries in the Beatitudes. He wasn't talking about nations. He wasn't talking about political boundaries. Jesus was talking about personal relationships. And even though world peace may be something that's beyond our control, actually historian Will Durant noted that in over 8,000 years of recorded history, there's only been 286 years of known peace during that time. 8,000 peace treaties have been made and broken during that time. So world peace may be something that's just outside of our control. World peace may not even be possible if you look at history. As a matter of fact, it says sometimes that peace is this. Peace are those glorious moments in history when everybody just stops to reload. That's really what peace is. People are just reloading during that time. So world peace may not be possible, but personal peace is possible. And Jesus was talking about personal peace here. He said, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. Now, what exactly are peacemakers? Well, a peacemaker, first of all, enjoys peace with God. They enjoy peace with God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, that therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells, we talked about this the last time we were together, the Bible says this, that we are sinners, and because of our sin, we are alienated from God. We are separated from God. We are, in fact, enemies of God. But the Bible says that through Jesus Christ, we can be at peace with God. And sometimes people say, yeah, have you ever heard this, or have you ever said this to someone, that's dying, or somebody that doesn't have much time left on earth? And what is there a tendency to do sometimes when we go up and talk to them? We ask them the question, have you made your peace with God? And I know we mean well when we say that, but really it's an invalid question because we cannot make our peace with God. Jesus Christ has already made our peace with God. All we need to do is agree with the terms and the conditions of the peace that God has already put together for us. And so people, when they look at themselves, if you're a peacemaker, if you enjoy peace with God. Do you enjoy peace with God? That's what the first thing a peacemaker does. The second thing a peacemaker does is a peacemaker seeks to mend broken relationships. A peacemaker seeks to mend broken relationships. The Bible says this in Isaiah 61 about Jesus Christ. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Peacemakers seek to mend broken relationships. And the first way we do that two ways. The first way we do that is trying to keep peace with ourselves. With everybody that we're related to, in our relationships, in our personal relationships, we try to keep the peace. Now that is hard because conflict is inevitable. How we handle conflict really is up to us. And conflict has been around for a very long time. Do you remember in World War II, the Prime Minister of England was Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill had an ongoing conflict with a lady by the name of Lady Astor, which was one of the first women elected to Parliament in Britain. And she was always giving him a hard time. They were always publicly going back and forth at one another. As a matter of fact, they were talking about a masquerade party one time in Parliament, and they were talking about what they were going to come as, and Winston Churchill said, you know, I don't know what I should do. I don't know how I should dress up. And Winston Churchill, who was known for public intoxication, Lady Astor looked at him. She said, why don't you come sober? That would be a real treat. And they were always doing things like that in public, going back and forth with one another. There was another time where Winston Churchill and Lady Astor were involved in a public feud. And Lady Astor asked him this. She said, Mr. Churchill, you are despicably drunk. You are despicably drunk. At that point, he responded back to her and said, you are despicably ugly, but tomorrow morning, I will be sober. There was another time where they were together, and Lady Astor said this. She said, if I were your wife, I would poison your tea. Can you imagine them talking back and forth? If I were your wife, I'd poison your tea. And at that, Winston Churchill looked at her and said, if I were your husband, I'd drink it gladly. And so sometimes when we see the conflict in other people, we kind of laugh at that. You know, we laugh and make fun of the things that go on. But it's not funny when it goes on with us. When we're involved in the conflict, is it? And God says that we need to work on, if we're going to be a peacemaker, we need to work on making sure the relationships in our life are at peace. Not only do we need to make sure that the relationships in our life are at peace, we need to make sure that relationships with others are at peace as well. Help others keep the peace. There is a great, great story in 1 Samuel chapter 25, perhaps the best story of peacemaking in the entire Bible. Do you remember it? 1 Samuel chapter 25, it's tucked away in the pages of the Old Testament. It's a story about Nabal, who was very arrogant. He was very wasn't very nice at all. He wasn't a very friendly guy. And David was not king yet. He was on the run from Saul. And you remember David's men came across Nabal, and they asked him, would you please give us some food? And Nabal's response was, no, I will not give you any food. And then he had a few choice words for David. He sent them on their way. He said, I'm not going to give you a thing. And so when David's men got back at camp that night, they told David what had transpired, how they had ran into this man by the name of Nabal. And David was infuriated. I mean, he was just furious. He said, guys, get ready, because tomorrow morning we're going to ride out and we're going to take that guy out. You know, we'll deal with that guy. If he's going to act like that, we don't need him. We're going to take that guy out. So that's what David intended to do. The next day, 400 men got up on their horses to go attack this guy who didn't have an army. He was just spouting off. They went to attack him. If you remember the story, there was a lady by the name of Abigail. Abigail was the wife of Nabal. She heard, actually her husband had come back and was bragging about, hey, mouthing off to David. And she heard about what was going to take place, and she knew what to do. She went and she met David out in the field of battle before he arrived at her husband's house. She met him with 200 loaves of bread, along with wine, roasted grain, raisin cakes, and 200 packs of fig Newtons. And she said, David, can I talk to you for a second? And she said, I want to bring you all this food, because you know my husband. My husband's name is Nabal, and Nabal means fool. And most of the time, that's exactly what he is. He is a fool. He doesn't know what he's saying. He talks out of the side of his mouth. You can't pay attention to anything he says. And then she did something very interesting. She said, it's my fault. She said, if I would have been there, I should have been there. If I would have just been there, I would have kept him from mouthing off. I would have kept him from opening his mouth. I should have been there. If I would have been there, I would have just given you the food, and none of this we would have had to go through. Would you just please excuse him? It's not his fault. He doesn't know any better. It's all my fault. Because you see, that's what peacemakers do sometimes. Sometimes peacemakers take the blame on themselves just so they can keep the peace with everybody. David was so impressed with that. David said this. He said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Go home in peace. I have heard your words, and I have granted your request. Go home in peace. I have heard your words, and I have granted your request. And that's exactly what she did. She went home, and not too long after that, you know what happened? Nabal had a heart attack and died. Nabal had a heart attack and died. David sent for Abigail. He said, you know what? That is one lady I would like to make as my wife. If she's not married now, I want her to come, and I want to make her my wife because, man, she's just a peacemaker through and through. Now, what's the moral of the story? Well, the moral of the story is this. Ladies, if your husband's a fool, you can still be a queen. That's not the moral of the story. I just want to see if you're paying attention. Actually, the moral of the story is this, and we find it in the Bible. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And this is exactly what she did. She sowed in peace, and she reaped a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers seek to mend broken relationships with others. The last thing that peacemakers do is this. Peacemakers encourage others to find peace with God. Peacemakers encourage others to find peace with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20 says, He has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That verse is reminding us that we are ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador speaks on behalf of the country they are representing. They go to the UN and say, you know what, this is wrong what Syria is doing. This is wrong what Egypt's doing. They speak on behalf of the country they are representing. What country are we representing? We are representing heaven. Have you ever wondered why we're here? If the Christian life is just about going to heaven, why didn't God allow me to die at the moment I was saved? Why didn't God allow you to die at the moment you were saved? If it's all about just going to heaven, why are we still here? The way I see it, we're still here because, if you really think about it, there's two things that we can do here that we can't do in heaven. There's two things that we can do here that we can't do in heaven. Can we sing and praise God in heaven? Yeah, we can sing and praise God here. Can we work and play and eat and have a good time here? Absolutely. Can we do that in heaven? Yeah, we can do that in heaven as well. Can we pray here? Absolutely. Can we pray in heaven? Yes, we can. We can do those. What are the two things that we can do here that we can't do when we get to heaven? Well, first of all, we can't sin in heaven. We can sin here. And I'm pretty sure God doesn't want us to sin while we're here either. So that eliminates that one. What's the second thing that we can do here that we cannot do in heaven? We cannot tell people about Jesus Christ. We can't tell people about Jesus Christ. We can't encourage them to have peace with God through Jesus Christ there because there'll be no need. Think about it. Think about it. What if I forget one time while I'm in heaven and I see somebody standing by that river and I walk up to them, I say, hey, you know what? I just want to tell you a little bit about Jesus. I just want to tell you what Jesus can mean to you if you just commit your life to Jesus. And all of a sudden I'm going to feel a tap on my shoulder in heaven and I'm going to turn around, it's going to be Jesus, and he's going to say, Eddie, buddy, I've told you before, we really don't have to do that here. We don't have to do that here. Why do we not have to do that here? Because everybody's going to know Jesus here. We can't tell others about Jesus in heaven, but we can tell them about Jesus here. We may not be able to preach. We may not be able to teach. We may not be able to sing, but we can tell them the story of how we have peace with God through Jesus Christ here, and that's exactly what God wants us to do. Think about the times in your life when your family has done something to really make you proud. That's happened, right? I mean that time when that person that you love got a job that they were wanting to get and they were so happy for and you were so proud of them. Friday, Sydney came home from first grade, her first grade spelling test. And this is a big deal for Sydney. It is. Sydney got 115 on her first grade spelling test, her first one. I took a picture of it. I sent it to Seth and Ellen. I said, I just can't believe this. Can you believe this about your sister? Isn't that amazing? Samuel brought home his saxophone, tenor saxophone this week, and I put it on Facebook. I said, he made me look so grown up. I was so proud of him. We're still waiting for that proud moment for Sarah, but she's working on it. But you know how you have those moments when your children, you're just so proud of them, you just want to tell somebody else? You know, you have those moments. What is it that they do that makes you so proud of them? Think about God. What is it that we do when God says, man, that's just beautiful. I'm just so proud of you the way you do that. Actually, God told us. He said in Isaiah 52:7, when we do this, it's a beautiful thing. Isaiah 52:7 says this, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. How beautiful are those on the mountains that proclaim peace, who tell the good news of Jesus Christ. I'll close with this. Randy Newton was an international missionary to Brazil. And he told a story once of another missionary that was in Brazil that hadn't been there very long. He just arrived. He was very excited. He went to different places. He went to all these people. They wanted to tell people about Christ, and he was going on and on. And he said he went to one lady's house. Now, this lady, when she was younger, had prayed on her birthday. She had come to this time of her birthday, and she realized she didn't know God. And so she prayed this prayer. She said, God, I want to know you. I know you exist. So if you could, just please send somebody to tell me about you. That's what I want. She prayed that. Nothing happened. The next year, her birthday came around. She prayed again. Years go by. She's praying. Now she's an older woman 30 years later. And on her birthday, she prays again. God, I've been waiting all these years for you to bring somebody to tell me how to know you. And I would love for it to be today. She goes back in her house and goes about her business. Later on that day, there's a young man who stops by her house and he's doing this. You see, in Brazil, they have fences around the house and you're not really allowed to go behind the fence. So you don't go up to the door and knock like we do here. You stand outside the fence and you just clap. And there's a young man clapping outside of her house, just clapping. And she goes to the door and she says, young man, what can I do for you? And he said, I'm here to tell you something. He said, I've been going up and down this street. I just want people to know God. and how you can come to know God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And she said, is that right? He said, yep. She said, why don't you come on in for a second? So he came on in, and they talked, and she prayed. And she prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior on that day, her birthday, 30 years after she first started praying. And she said, young man, this is a miracle. She said, 30 years ago I started praying this, and you came today. It's a miracle. And he said, ma'am, you don't know how much of a miracle it is, because this is my birthday as well, and I'm 30 years old today. 30 years ago, God began to answer your prayer that you're praying to him. As he prepared me, as he prepared you, 30 years today, I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't how beautiful are the feet of those on the mountains who tell good news? How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim peace and tell the good news of Jesus Christ? Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.